Yes, start feeling good. That sounds good. Welcome to the Friar Phil Show. And we've got a fun-packed show for you today, hopefully. I'm doing something different this season. I'm using music from different acts and people you may or may not know. And I'm using some of the more obscure tracks that you don't hear. And today I'm featuring the work of Wang Chung. And this one was called What's So Bad About Feeling Good. And I chose that one because of our guest today. Every time I've seen him at the park, there has never been a day where I've seen him where he was negative or pissed off or nasty. Always feeling good, always putting that sunshine out there. And I decided to bring him back today because, first of all, I'm having trouble with my voice, so I couldn't do the other program I wanted to do because that would take a lot of talking. But also because I thought it'd be fun to talk to him pre-season. So who am I talking about, huh? I'm talking about the Dancing Friar, Corey. Corey, welcome to the program again.
Hey, everybody have fun tonight. Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Yeah, that's one of the most important questions I wanted to ask you today. Have you ever Wang Chunged?
It's funny you asked me that. I'm doing it right now.
Oh, well, don't let me interrupt you.
No, it's a two-ply condom situation. We're good, we're good.
Ah, okay.
It's a family show, I forget.
Well, no, it's not really a family show. I don't think kids listen, and if they do, and they're teenagers, they know all about that anyhow. And their mouths are probably a lot more filthier than mine, so.
Hey, you know what? The timbre in your voice these days, it's the one level above sexy. So,
well, that's good.
It may be annoying to people around you, but I think it's, you know, it just rumbles in the old eardrum.
Yeah, I think it's the microphone, too. Also, because I can't speak above this tone. If I try and go any higher, with any higher notes, it comes out like a squeak.
Does that make your rant seem a little less more tame, a little less ranty?
Well, it's yeah, and there's not too many rants I can see coming this season. I imagine we'll have some, but that was part of the reason why I need to do the program I'm doing next week, because the Friar Phil character, as such, was a funny character because he was funny when he was pissed off. But
right.
We have Jay Stinkler now. We have a pretty good goddamn team. And
well,
I don't see anything coming
won't
up.
Wouldn't that be fun to see when you turn around and see the difference between what we're used to, the trash we're used to seeing, and no offense to the guys that played, but you weren't really that great, now to watch a well-oiled machine with some parts that are are being fixed at this point, I find that to be the most tantalizing part of the season.
Oh, it sure is. Now, did you see the other day on Twitter, on the Padres' Twitter, their little note about tickets?
About tickets? What did you hear? Because I got some strange emails myself. And I wanted to pick your brain about that, just as fan to fan, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah, I got them too. But this one says, due to reduced capacity, the only way to access tickets for Padres home games is by placing a membership deposit. This deposit ensures priority access to tickets for the 2021 season and the postseason if capacity increases, and also 2022 membership. So, in other words, if you can afford to put a deposit down for a membership, you'll be able to go to the park and see games. If not, tough shit. And I said that a couple of weeks ago, and this didn't really go over real good with some of the fans, as I look down at some of the comments here about it. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know how I feel about that.
I have regular season tickets. I've had them since 2009. But, you know, in the past, I've had season tickets further when it was back you know, in the old stadium. The Voldemort, whose name should not be said out loud, the Barf. But at this point, I have looked at this, and I clicked on that stupid thing because I fell for the fish. It said the same thing. It said, you know, you can't have this and you have a deposit. Well, I already have an ongoing payment plan going on there and have for years. And frankly, I clicked on a damn thing, and it said, okay, it's going to cost you $400, I think, for your deposit for your two tickets. I'm like, what? And I was like, wait a minute. So then, you know, you put in all the information, and suddenly it goes back into a loop to MLB, which means this is fucking not from the Padres. They're just sending this randomly out to every fucking person.
Oh, boy.
I'm pissed. I was pissed because it was like I sent a little note saying, can you call me back to my ticket agent? Can you tell me what the heck I'm looking at here? Because I don't know what's going on. And then somebody else popped up on Twitter and said, no, that's it. That deposit is bullshit. That's for people who don't have money down.
Right.
On it already. So, do you usually get season tickets, or do you ramble in when you can?
Because of my health, I ramble in when I can, and that's the kind of thing that's going to screw me this year, it seems, because I was considering getting like a half season of membership tickets, but then again, you know, what if I can't use them?
Hey, listen to me. Friar Phil, I am telling you right now on your podcast that you will have my tickets when you want them. Now, obviously, I'm not going to use all of my 81 games because I'm planning to be back to work at some point. And I would like to be able to offer this to you when I don't use it, if you would like to go. So if you could represent in the right field mission, you don't have to robe up, although I'd love it. You don't have to robe up, but I would appreciate you being sitting in the seat.
Ah, yeah, in the official seat. We forgot to mention that the last time there was an official seat, too. It's right by the K-Dude.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You remember the K-Dude is the guy that puts the K's up there that you may see on TV? Ishmael.
Ishmael Guerrero. And, boy, he has been in a physical state for the last couple of years, too. He's been walking around with an oxygen tank and the whole thing. My God, we're getting to the point where we've got oxygen tanks.
Yeah.
You never thought you'd see a Padre, World Series, but you might just before you go on the oxygen tank.
Right. Oxygen, please. Have oxygen strokes, heart attacks, and everything else as we watch this season unfold. The Dodgers are getting a little cranky as well. While the Dodger fans in their periodical, Dodgers Nation, it's saying that the Padres CEO seems to be trying to keep Dodger fans out of Petco Park because he said for them to try and get a ticket, it's probably going to be pretty significant premium. Maybe they stay in L.A. and enjoy watching the Dodgers play there.
I'm embarrassed to say that some of my friends are already talking about selling. I am pleading with anybody who can hear my voice. Do not sell tickets to Dodger or Giants games to anyone who's not a Padre fan. They must. If you have season tickets and you're going to sell your ticket, please make it from the very pit of your soul this commitment that you won't sell to anybody in that ugly blue or that god-awful Halloween orange and black costume.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, sell it to somebody that's a San Diego person that probably couldn't afford a deposit down on season tickets, so wouldn't get an otherwise, and do that. Use Padres Twitter as your little hashtag if you've got tickets, and offer it to a friend down there, not to the Dodger fans. You know, let them go invade their own stadium. And I really wouldn't mind Dodger fans coming in and taking over the stadium, because that puts more money into the organization and sells out more seats. But these bastards are so there's just so many words to describe the bad ones.
I think bastards are dastardly. That's what they are.
Dastardly. And they get drunk and they have beers and they get thrown into jail. I asked a cop, a San Diego police officer, a couple of seasons ago, who do you lock up? Because, you know, there is a lockup down in in the bowels of Petco Park.
I'm not going to say I've been there.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Wasn't on the tour.
But I asked them... who or what team do you get the most lockups from? And it was definitely the Dodgers and the Dodger fans. But I have to say, the last time I was at the park for a Dodgers game, the Dodger fans that were sitting around me were pretty decent, nice people. Yeah. Like a lot of the people that follow me on Twitter, they're decent, respectful, good sportsmen. But there are some at the park, you give them a little liquor and they're just crazy. Right. And it's the females. It's not really the males that do it. I've seen so many bitch fights there between Dodger girls and Dodger girls and Padre girls. It's like, you know, just sit back and watch the goddamn game, you know. It's only a game. I'm not sure what that was.
Oof. Call dropped, and I was like, where did that? What happened there?
Oh, it's a call drop. Okay, that's why.
Yeah. All right. Are we back on, should I wait? Or
yeah, we're back on. We heard the lovely sound of the phone ringing, which it's not supposed to be doing. Sorry about that, folks, if it ruined your ears. But what was I saying? I've seen so many bitch fights.
Well, you're really good with, you have a very good rapport with Dodger fans. I really appreciate that. Because you do the banter, and it's not, like, offensive, but it's also calling people out on their shit, and they appreciate that. But you're also very, just hospitable and kind to them.
Well, so I try.
Somebody gets up here. Yeah.
Last
Somebody
week,
crawls up there.
I had Sam Shearer on. He's a kid. He's 17. But he writes his own blog, which is well written and better than some professionals I've seen. And he knows his stuff. So last week I had the enemy on the podcast. And surprisingly enough, kudos go out to the Padre fans out there. Nobody gave me a hard time about it. Trying to feel as a Dodgers fan, you're a Dodger lover, but I did warn them on the podcast not to go there or I'd block them. I love the block.
You have the power.
Yeah.
You have the power.
Gives me the power. So do you have a thing planned for this season as far as the right field mission goes? Doing something different or...
We're going to play it by ear at this point. You know, I again, getting older, I find that the dancing fire is not going to be able to get up as much as he used to and wiggle his behind. When things are good, I've got a little bit of a physical problem, so I'll be able to manage that, but I'm going to do more pantomime. So in terms of the games I'm going to go to, it depends on when I get back to work and get back off furlough at the place where I work, that lovely unnamed resort, so the Grand Dame of the Pacific over there on the island, who shall be remain nameless. I'm waiting to get back to work over there as soon as possible, but we're starting to pick up some steam. What is going to be fun is that I'm going to be able to get with Tony Fantano, those of you who know him, and also Kai LaRusso and some of the other old gang. Nacho Padre, one of our favorite guys. If you haven't had the fortune of meeting Nacho, Frankie Lamelli, he is amazing. Ish, I don't know how many games he's going to be able to make it to, as I understand, but I understand Luigi should be there in full regalia. He said that this year he actually lost almost 8 pounds.
Oh, well, that's good. Good for him.
Yeah, he shaved his back. So.
Well, that will do it. Got to keep away from that sour cream at Lolita's.
Yeah, it's a little tough, you know, because that's where you put the calories on.
Yeah.
But in terms of cheers, depending on, I know that Frankie has some tickets, Tony's got some tickets, so the season ticket holders are going to be there in the area. They've already said that they're probably going to move us around, but the spot that I should be in, I'll find out this week, but I can hardly wait.
Oh, for your seat.
I don't want to stay emotionally distant from people, but maybe physically just a little bit.
Yeah. It works better that way, because if you got people coming up to talk to you all the time or want pictures, you can't do what you do with the friar.
Right, we'll wing it. We'll have to come up with like one of those famous Leaning Tower of Pisa shots where I'm standing off to the side 6 feet away and they're sort of holding me up, that sort of thing.
Yeah, the social distancing, I don't know. Go ahead.
As a fan, especially in the manner in which we usually do this, which is sort of a silly, as I mentioned before, it's this sort of silly display of emotive properties, you know, that when fans are very angry or very sad, and we're there physically to sort of help that, and also to do chants. And so this year, not knowing what the configurations of a 20% occupied area would be, not knowing what, you know, what we're going to be allowed to do, knowing full well that masks are going to keep our voices from shouting very loud.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about megaphones. I've got to really look at the scope of things and then build it as we go.
Do you think they'll let you bring a megaphone in? Because we were talking last year about the noisemakers and the cowbell story that you told, where they said you can't have a cowbell in there. It might make a little bit of noise. God forbid should you have noise at a freaking baseball game, huh?
I'm going to approach the team and ask them to sort of lay off that restriction this year. But megaphones, they sell those things in the, you know, the little things that you hold up to your mouth.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. We'll stick filters in them and see if that works. Put
right.
a mask around.
Maybe. Yeah. See, they're COVID safe. We got a mask on our
Friar Phil, I'm hoping that this year we're going to see a lot more. I mean, obviously, as people start to get vaccinated, as we get into the July, if we hold true for the next few months, I just have this feeling, you know, as the president just said the other day to us, you know, if we can do this unified together and not, like, push back at places where we can and hold the line with masks where we can and get vaccinated and just get on board with this thing. Shit's going to come roaring back, and that means baseball.
That's right.
That means baseball.
But people have to do the work and do, like you said, get in all in on this. And, you know, the idiots out there need to stop the idiocy. You know, it's taking away my civil liberties if I put on a mask. You know, what the fuck is wrong with people, you know?
We haven't seen this kind of mobilization since, you know, World War II and since the Great Depression, where we actually have to all come together and some common... You know, like, you can always hate the Soviets, you can always hate the Nazis, you can hate the Japanese, you can even hate poverty, but in this case, it's a virus. For the most part, what we have to rally against, everybody should be on board hating.
Yeah, they should, because you don't want to get it. You don't want to wind up dead. And there's far too many people dead from this disease already because of the orange bastard and his response to this crisis. But doesn't it, this kind of strays away from sports for a minute, but doesn't it sound nice saying President Biden for a change instead of President Orange Prick?
It rolls off the tongue. I took my mom in the other day to get her first dose of the vaccine, what I call uno dose. Mm-hmm. Next couple of weeks, we're going for dose. Fauci-ouchie. Yeah, the Fauci-ouchie.
The Fauci-ouchie. That's good.
Got a little bit of that. But I'm looking forward to getting mine, but back to baseball. If we can all do this, we're going to get back to baseball in mass, get to go to games, and get to see a team that I'm ecstatic about every little nugget of information. What's really funny is I'm absorbing all the stuff that's coming out on podcasts and little articles. And obviously, I have a little bit more time than I've had in the past to be able to delve into these things. But what's more fun is that we now are in a position of being that team that people are going to want to talk about. And people are when moves happen and they come together and they fall apart. You know, it's the whole cycle of the year is going to really be the most exciting thing. Because this could be, I mean, if this comes to fruition, you look at the Dodgers winning the World Series last year, and if we pulled some craziness off this year, I'm not saying what, but just making a solid run, can you imagine in a full season in a sort of vaccinated world where things are starting to come back together what our September and October could look like?
Oh, my goodness.
It gives me a raging Woody. Emotionally.
Emotionally, yes, that's good. Throw that in case kids are listening, because of course they don't know what a Woody is.
No, it's not that Toy Story.
Oh, Toy Story Woody, yeah, I remember him. Yeah, it's going to be exciting this season, and that's part of the conundrum I find myself in, because it's like I want to get the half season tickets. The price they quoted me is pretty reasonable as far as ticket prices go. I'm not sure what the deposit is, but On the other hand, you know, I got to think about my health too, and am I really, really ready to be around a bunch of people? You know, even wearing masks. And right now, I've got to go with the health part.
Right. Take it slow. Let's ramp up so that you're at one of those games in June or July when a bulk of people are going to be, you know, better. You still wear the mask. Obviously, you're keeping careful. But I think by July, you might be able to get some games, Bill.
Yeah, I think so, too. Especially with the vaccine. President Biden said he wants everybody vaccinated by May 1st. So we'll see if that comes into fruition as well. But,
well, he didn't say that. Actually, he just said that everybody would be eligible by May 1st. That
means eligible.
That they ramped up production. So that's important.
Well, either way, you know, we've seen more action on this in 50 days than we saw in 4 years from those people. And I don't know. It's a mental illness or something, you know, for people to still want to go and support this asshole. You know, it was obvious, you know, that to anybody that the best interest of the country wasn't with this guy. And it's nice having somebody now that's president. And I don't care what party it is. It's nice having somebody that's president that's doing something proactive about this virus. Because if we didn't get to this point where we finally got a change in leadership, where we did something about it, this could go on for another year. I've been like quarantining myself for a year now, almost.
Jeez.
You know, with my partner going out and Roxy going out to get the stuff at the store, shop, or do laundry or whatever, and I stay here with the cat, you know. For two reasons. First, I can't leave Wilson here by himself because he's 18 years old and he gets really sad if he's here by himself. And secondly, you know, I've got to watch my health. So I hope by July we'll have something that's better than we've got currently.
Now, wait a minute. Wilson's not your partner. Wilson's your cat.
Right. Wilson is 18 years old. He's a black and white tuxedo kitty. And he's fantastic. He's going to be 19 in May. And he's a fabulous kitty. If anybody's looking to adopt a cat and stuff, you got to go with a tuxedo cat. They are smart. They're smarter than Republicans.
Don't forget, you got to get them spayed and neutered, because if they wear the tuxedo and they're going to look impotent, they want to feel impotent.
That's right.
They are impotent.
But good news is, if you adopt from any agency like the Humane Society, they're already spayed and neutered, and that's taken care of for you. So do that. While I'm putting a plug in for that, try and consider adopting an older pet instead of just a kitten or a puppy, because the older pets, especially at kill shelters, are the first to go.
Speaking of pets, did you see that Petco, they've just extended for another year the Petco name on the side of that thing?
Yeah,
it's supposed to be 2026, I think, was supposed to end. So they extended it to 2027. I'm sorry, but is Petco still around?
I think so.
I'm just kidding. I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. Have you been able to watch any of these spring training games? I mean, or listen to them on the radio? I have a question for you about the streaming.
Well, yeah, you know, I've listened to some of them.
I've noticed that on the MLB app, it is very low. Just the Padres one is very low. But if you switch it over, let's say, to the Oakland A's or the Twins or whomever else is on the, you know, the Rangers, they're all very loud. So for some reason on the streaming service, it sounds very hushed. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, they had that problem a couple of years ago, too. And I just had to send a note to Jesse. And he talked to the engineers, and they bumped up the volume on it a little bit. So you might want to just get in touch with Jesse Hagler for that, and he'll get the ball rolling as far as volume is concerned.
All right, I'll get on that. Very nice. But I was just listening before I switched over to give you a call. I was listening to the A's game today, and that was a rather interesting thing. Just interesting first couple of innings that I was watching.
Interesting.
I saw Mackenzie Gore pitch the other day. Saw Yu Darvish pitch the other day. We saw Blake Snell pitch the other day. Or at least listen to the game and then and watch some of the highlights
right.
later. I am really excited about where pitching is going to be and hitting is going to be.
Oh, my God. I got to keep pinching myself, literally, to just realize and have that settle into my mind that we have this pitching rotation. But like I said to E.T. the other 2 weeks ago when he was on the program, I had said back in the fall to him that I was sure that A.J. Preller was going to do something remarkable, and he was going to concentrate on pitching. So I get my Miss Cleo badge for the year because I predicted that correctly. You're Libra, darling, aren't you?
1-800. It's a free call. Call Miss Cleo.
I guess you got to be a certain age now to remember who Miss Cleo was.
Well, the kids don't even know what 976 means when you make, you know, like Star 69.
Right.
We're just analog kids.
Yeah.
In the digital world.
It's just unbelievable. You know, when you sit back and think about that, too, with everything that we have now, the computers, the phones that play music and do exactly what we're doing here, you know, it's just amazing. I wouldn't have thought that we'd have this sort of technology back in the 1980s when our telephones were still connected to cords, and just the newest thing coming out was the cordless phone. Oh boy, big old suckers. You needed to really work out before you pick them up.
You know, until recently, I called these little phones that you have in your pocket car phones.
Car phones, yeah.
Remember when you used to call it a car phone?
Yeah.
He thinks he's a big deal. He's got a car phone in his pocket.
Oh, yeah. You'd see people sometimes with their car phones sitting at the red lights, you know, looking all important because they're talking on the phone. Now if they do it, they'll get a ticket.
Right.
Jesus.
Don't get through the light.
But yeah, I'm really excited about this pitching rotation that we have. And I think it's going to make all the difference in the world, you know, because if the guys that are part of the offense have good trust in the pitcher that's pitching the game and they keep the score from the other team down because of their good pitching, it motivates the other guys to do well and try and score some runs. So I hope those things will help each other and we'll have a more productive season. The only thing I've seen in spring training so far that I was hoping last year would get fixed this year during spring training was the problem we have with leaving runners in scoring position. And that's been a bone of contention for me for a couple of years now, even back with Andy Green at the helm.
We always call those happy endings when you got ducks on the pond out there and suddenly you bring them around. That's a happy ending. If you don't bring them around, you leave runners left on base after you're out. That is a sad ending.
Yes,
it's the opposite of a good hand job.
Yeah, and I tell you what, you can't beat a good hand job. Oh, sorry, kids. little adult humor there. But yeah, you can't beat it because that's how you win games when you manufacture runs. You just can't rely on a home run. And I'm seeing with some of the players, you know, they're working that out stuff, but I just hope all of them, you know, get led by Jay Stickler and shown, you know, that you got to play a little small ball some of the time and give them more direction when they're up at bat, when they're in that kind of a situation. You know, there's a time to swing, to hit the ball out of the park, you know, when you see it coming right down your alley. And there's time just to get a single or a double something just to move the runners around or a sacrifice fly. It's not as attractive as a home run or grand slam on your record, but it still works towards winning the game. And that's what the priority of the team has to be this year, winning games. And no excuses, no Chris Paddock with his, I didn't like what the fans were saying about me, and my nerves were worked. I was having a nervous breakdown. Nobody wants to hear that shit.
Did he
just
go all
pitch.
Clear and green on us?
Kind of, almost, but not completely.
Well, when you're talking about, runners in scoring position and bringing those guys around and just the small ball stuff that you need to do to really achieve a game, because, home runs, super sexy. Everybody loves a good strikeout and a closer that, or a walk-off, like the big explosive things. That's the thing about baseball that everybody who's a peripheral fan, not necessarily an observer of the sport,
right.
Those things come around and that's highlight fodder for ESPN. What you don't win seasons, you may win games that way, but you don't win seasons that way. You don't win World Series that way.
Right.
It's productive runs. So last year we had guys like Mitchie Moreland. We had two bags Mitchie coming around there and hit those doubles right there. There were a couple other players also last year. I'm hoping that we're going to get those same things this year. During the spring, you watch somebody like C.J. Abrams, who is not going to be coming up, I don't think, just yet.
No.
Obviously, they have to position him to be somewhere other than shortstop. But that kid triples. He's got wheels on him. If he hits a ball in the gap, he's going to get at least a double, maybe a triple. He could come home with that sort of thing.
That,
to me, is the good shit.
I've seen some of the highlights of him and what
he's
done.
Who are some of our doubles hitters? Who are some of the guys you're expecting to get extra bases this year?
Tatis.
Obviously, Tatis. Yeah.
I think Machado can do it. Profar. Machado. That was a good pickup. I'm glad we kept Profar.
I'm worried about guys like Tommy Pham. If he's not going to be able to cut it, what are you going to do? Could you bring in a guy like C.J. Abrams and put him in the outfield? Is that ridiculous to think that you could do that? Wheels, covering that much ground?
I don't know. You could do it. It's either shit or get off the pot at this point, I think, with the management of the team. The team has opened up the piggy bank and let A.J. Preller go and do all this stuff, and they didn't do it just to be sitting in second or third place saying, oh, well, maybe next season. They're not going to deal with that. If you can't shit, go get you some laxative while we let somebody else play your position that can hit the ball and do all that, And I don't know if that's how it's going to go down this year, but that's how I would be. That would be my attitude if I was the manager. Look, I'm managing to win something this year. I'm not managing to say, oh, well, maybe next time, or the Andy Green
Andy
kind
Green.
Of managing, oh well.
Buddy Black, that's baseball.
That's just baseball. That's the way it is. Thank you, Buddy Black.
Well, you give him shit, he's going to give you shit back.
Yeah.
The truth is, you got to put a good product, or at least a competitive one, and it looks like we've done that. But you know what? I'll believe it when I see it. We lived through the years like the 2000. What was the first year when AJ Prelet brought in all those guys like Kemp and all that? Was it 14 or 15? I can't remember.
I think it was around 15.
15.
Yeah.
Or even earlier when you look at the team like 2010. There was a team that nobody. Can you even? It was hard to even remember any of the players on that team, and yet they were in first place by a lot all the way until middle of August of 2010, and they took a big dump. If you don't remember that, how well you manage a team is based on the pieces that you've got to play with.
Right.
When they don't give them that, you can say whatever you can about Andy Green and Buddy Black and all the guys before Bochy. But that was a lot of shite on the field.
Right. And it's true. They've got to have product to work with. And I know, sometimes I was hard on Andy Green when I really shouldn't have been too hard on him because of what he had to work with. But Jace Tinkler has a lot of good stuff to work with this year, and I'm very excited to see what he's going to do in a full season. I was impressed with what he did in a 60-game season last year, and I'm looking forward to see just what he does this year in a full season.
Believe in the process. Believe in the process. You know?
Yeah.
we got into the ride, and sometimes, you know, after that first year with Preller, people were like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And that sort of thing. And then you turn around and you're like, where we are now. You're like,
Right.
Here's my thought, though. I want to leave you with a little bit of this. Where did the money come from? Why are we suddenly open to it? What are they seeing that none of the other teams who are selling, thinking that this is going to be a throwaway year again? Like, they're seeing something different than the other teams are. They're very smart. They're spending money. But I really think it's coming from down south. I think that there's money coming from, there's Mexican money in this from down in Baja. That's what I think.
Oh, maybe. Who knows? But the bottom line is, you know, I think the organization realizes that you've got to put a winning product out on the field, or the fans won't come. You know, like I said last year during one of the apparently they didn't, because they'd still give us crap and expect us to come, and then complain when attendance was down. But you know, I can't spend the money to go to a game to watch a bunch of people lose the goddamn thing over and over again. And let's face it, you know, going to baseball games isn't the most inexpensive thing to do these days. And for a lot of people, it used to be, yeah, when we had the $5 tickets for Park in the Park. God knows what it is now, but you know, for a lot of people, especially with the COVID thing going and work not happening for them and just being on unemployment, you know, it's hard for people to make ends meet. And that's kind of circling back now to the thing about if you get yourself a membership, you can come watch the games thing with that, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that would like to get in a membership. Everybody's getting $1,400 in their bank account, but there are a lot of people that are behind on rent or other payments or car payments or whatever it may be because of this virus and because of what's happened in this country and what happened in this country, particularly before January 20th. So there's money out there to be spent, you know, for people. You know, unfortunately, I'm in a good place where I can take part of that money that I'm getting and put it towards a deposit, you know. But then there's other things I want to do too. I'm going to go see my mother up in New York, finally, after a year of waiting. My fans were good enough to help me get the revenue to go do that, and I've had that in savings since then, because, you know, it was intended for my trip and I'm going to use it, and I've got enough where I'm going to fly first class. I've never flown first class before, and I'll be able to afford it. But where was I going? Where the hell was I going with this? I went down a wrong path and got twisted around. Oh, I'm saying, you know, there's a lot of people that can't afford to get the memberships, and I'm hoping the Padres will change something around, you know, once we get into June or July after the All-Star break, where they allow more tickets to be sold to just, you know, regular folks that want to come to a game, you know, one a week or something like that.
Yeah. I would think that most fans would be aching to get back in there, but you're right. You know, you never know what people's finances are. And you never know. Remember when they did drop those $5 things? That was right around the time of the recession of 2008-09. In that period right there, that's when a lot of the special deals came around. You don't know if they're necessarily going to do that sort of thing here, if there's enough money floating around in the economy at that point. But I will tell you what. I will be waiting with bated breath to walk through the front door, walk through the gate, and see what kind of pageantry they've got for us.
Yeah. You know?
Temperature checks, or what are they going to do? Body scans.
Body scans, et cetera.
Yeah.
Who knows? It's crazy what you got to do to get into a ball game, but it's just the kind of world we live in, I guess.
Well, not in Texas.
Well, not in Texas, but let them all cough on each other for all I care. Bunch of goddamn idiots. Sorry to anybody that's listening that's from Texas, but really. So, have you recruited during the... there goes the voice.
Have we recruited anybody? I tell you what, who's been doing full recruits is the Nacho Padre, a.k.a. Frankie Lomelli. You'll find him on Twitter, and he has been full tilt trying to get people up into our area. In fact, he bought quite a few, invested in quite a few seats this year up there for himself. And he will be trying to get folks who are in the area to also enjoy chanting, heckling. You know, right field is one of those fan-based sections that all bets are off. You don't, as long as you're not cussing or doing anything totally demeaning, and you can have as much fun as you want out there yelling at those players. Just think of how much money they're making per year and how much you're money making per year, and, go right into their ear hole.
And before we go, we should have done this at the start and stuff, but real quick, could you tell people what the right field mission is and what you guys do out there real quick for anybody that's new to the program?
New and not been out there before, we are a fan-based group in a section around section 133, and it is usually a loud section. Historically, the fans that are there dress up as Friars, and we call that the right field mission because we are actively trying to create this almost like bleacher creature type atmosphere out there, like you get in New York or at Wrigley Field or Cleveland, any of the big places. Oh, if you've ever been to the A's stadium up there where the in Oakland, that's the kind of fan base that we're trying to bring. We've been doing this for quite a long time now, at least since 2005, where we've got together coalesced around guys like Ishmael, who's the K dude, or Frankie, or just other fans that like to show their appreciation through chants and through physical sort of dances and things that we do up there. So we do get active, and as Tony likes to say, sometimes a little nakedness goes a long way.
Well, yeah, depends who's getting naked though. I just had Luigi flash in my mind for a moment. God, that's terrifying. All right, I don't know if the program made any sense today, but I'm going to let you go. Say thank you for popping on again. I'm going to rest my voice for a while, and hopefully by next week I have a full voice so I can do the program. A lot of people have been waiting for.
And we will. I'll see you all at the games this year, Friar Phil, and all of the listeners out there. And I'll also talk to you on Twitter at Dancing Friar.
Dancing Friar, look him up. Add him, and tweet nicely. Okay, thanks, Corey.
All right, be well.
You too. And that's Corey, the Dancing Friar. And that does it for us right now on the Friar Phil Show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support this year. And next week, hopefully, I'll be able to do the program that gives out a little bit of truth. I'm going to finish. There goes the voice again. I'm going to rest my voice, too. Going to finish up with another song that wasn't one of the very popular ones by Wang Chung, but it's a good one, and it kind of hints as to what we'll be doing next week on the program. It's called Don't Be My Enemy. Take care, be safe, and keep it lit, everybody. I'll see you next time. Don't be my enemy.